devotion, faith, identity. These are weighty topics, the stuff of graduate school seminars or museum exhibits. They're also the stuff of everyday art that's all around us, art inspired by questions of faith and made by our neighbors and friends. WYPR producer and Signal contributor Brett Jaspers brings us the story of a young curator who's mounting a community art exhibition called Devociones y Fe. It honors and celebrates the devotional keepsakes of Latinos in Southeast Baltimore.
Is Punka Street in Highland Town?
Oh, because we...
Is it in Highland Town?
Maybe.
Turn left on Bel Air Road, then turn right.
Michelle Gomez is under the gun. She's on her way to Highland Town and Upper Fells Point on a bright Saturday morning. She still needs to collect about a dozen items for her exhibition, and it opens in just a few weeks.
We have a lot to do today.
Michelle is a grad student at MICA, finishing her MFA in curatorial practice. Devociones y Fe is not only her current project, it's her grad school thesis. She started interviewing people about 2 years ago when she felt a personal need to connect to the Latino community here.
The idea of devotion and faith pretty much came out of that community and out of my conversations with people because it just kept coming up so much. It was a common thread that I saw in all of our conversations. This GPS is always taking us in loops.
This story's been like that for like 2 years now. I'm used to it.
Anthony Summers is behind the wheel today, as usual. He's an undergrad philosophy major at Johns Hopkins. He's also Michelle's boyfriend. Anthony plays a couple of key roles here. He's the chauffeur, Michelle doesn't drive, and like good partners everywhere, he gives emotional support.
It's gotten to the point where I feel like this is my project too. I've pretty much been helping her, you know, taking her to meetings, taking her to where she needed to go, since we first started dating. So I don't remember when that wasn't the case.
After months of meetings and interviews, the day has come for Michelle to collect on the trust she's earned. Many of the folks she's spoken to have made her a promise. They've agreed to loan her a prized possession, something that embodies their devotion or faith. Her plan is to assemble these objects for a public exhibition at a local Latin American restaurant, El Tesoro on South Broadway.
So right now we're going to go see Yesenia Mejia, who's making a piñata for the exhibition Devociones y Fe. We're going to interview her in her house and learn about the history of piñata making and how it used to be a spiritual tradition back then.
Anthony and Michelle pull up the car to Yesenia's house on Ponca Street and Fate Avenue.
And we don't need a loan agreement form for her because she's making the piñata and giving it to me. So it's not like I'm borrowing it from her.
Yesenia's four-year-old son, David, comes to the door with his cat.
What's the cat's name?
Bodita.
But what?
Boditas.
Boditas?
Bodita.
Bodita. Oh my God.
David leads us up to his mother's piñata making studio, her kitchen. There are four small piñatas in various stages of completion. David's working on an Angry Birds piñata. But the main attraction is suspended from the ceiling by a thin rope. Yesenia has made this piñata especially for Michelle's exhibition.
Oh my God, this one?
Yes.
It is so beautiful. Oh my God.
It's an impressive piece, the size of a half keg, covered in red, green, and yellow tissue paper and sprinkled lightly with glitter. Yesenia has attached seven cones around the piñata. They represent the seven deadly sins. Red flowers are for Christmas Eve. Yesenia remembers when she was a little girl in Mexico, she and the other children would break open a fruit-filled piñata as part of the nativity parade at Christmas time.
I think it's interesting that you started making them when you moved to Baltimore. What made you want to start that here?
To be honest, I wanted to learn my culture too. In my country, I didn't have that time of learning how to make them because I was busy studying and I'm doing other things. And now that I'm a mom and that I see that he likes breaking a piñata, it's like, well, I need to learn how to make them.
What's the globe made out of, the globe itself?
The first thing that we use is a balloon. And then we use newspaper. And then we make the engrudo, the paper mache, so we stick it on the balloon. We can use cereal boxes for the cones, or you can use cardboard.
Bye, botitas.
After a drink of water and some homemade cheese, we say goodbye. But Michelle and Anthony need Yesenia's help to get the piñata safely into the rear of the rented Chevy Captiva. Anthony's sedan is in the shop.
Thank God you have the SUV this week. His original car would have been too small for this. Yay! We got one. Yeah.
Continue on O'Donnell Street for 3/4 of a mile.
We drive about a mile west to the Archbishop Border School on South Highland Avenue, an unofficial center for Baltimore's Latino community. Michelle is ethnically half Dominican and half Puerto Rican. She grew up in Miami, and her classmates were mostly Hispanic.
We didn't talk about our culture. We just did our thing. You know, everyone around you has dark hair, dark eyes. You don't question it. But then when I moved to Baltimore, I immediately felt like I was different. So that's what made me think about the Latino community as a neighborhood, like a group of people that I could connect to.
Michelle's partner, Anthony, is half Black and half Puerto Rican and went to a mostly white high school on Long Island. Helping Michelle has pushed him to think about identity, too.
I've seen myself, for the most part, as sort of this individual, like, bland thing, walking around, going to school, not identifying myself with any sort of culture at all. And I'm just learning how much that matters for people. It makes them feel part of a community. It makes them feel like they have something they can rely on, a story, a language that they can use to communicate to others something about themselves. And that's something that's something I need to find for myself.
There's definitely this double consciousness where I feel like I'm a part of two worlds and two cultures and two kinds of traditions. Even though me and my mother grew up very Americanized, I still feel like it's there. Too white to be Latino, too Latino to be white. That's how I feel.
Morning stretches toward noon as Michelle Gomez continues on her quest to collect sacred objects for her community art exhibition, Devociones y Fe. Her next stop is at Archbishop Border School, where the folkloric dance group Bailes de mi Tierra is rehearsing. First, Michelle interviews Alexandra Gonzalez.
She's a dancer, but she also is contributing objects for the show about spiritual cleansing. So let's find her here. She said we could do the interview in a classroom here at Archbishop Borders. She's also teaching Zumba. There's many things happening at once.
Alexandra presents Michelle with a burlap bag of natural remedies, bee pollen, honey, arnica. She says Hispanics use them a lot because they're a good option for some ailments when you don't have health insurance. Michelle asks, how are these related to your devotion and faith?
¿Cómo están relacionan con su devoción y fe?
Si yo creo en esto que me va a funcionar, es mi fe lo que me mueve.
If I believe that something is going to work, Alexandra says, it's my faith that moves me. After her visit with Alexandra, Michelle heads over to the gym to meet Jose Reyes, who's rehearsing with Bailes de mi Tierra. Today, Jose is working with children. The dances have names like Vuela Paloma, Fly Bird, and Classes of Cha-Cha-Cha. The girls wear bright, flowing skirts, and the boys are breaking in brand new botines de folclore, folklore boots. Michelle asks Jose to talk for a minute about the special item he's sharing with her for her exhibition. It's a wide, grand sombrero.
When someone sees his hat, it personifies Mexican traditions, the glamour, the intricate design that it has, the horseshoes that are on here. You know, it's just very significant to Mexico, what charros wear, the Mexican cowboys. When you see a man dressed in their charro suit, full charro suit, you're just like, wow, elegance, the beauty, the majesticness of Mexico.
And how does this relate to your devotion and faith?
I myself personally identify myself with my Mexican heritage. What I feel and I believe, that's truly a part of me. I was born here in the United States, but my family is from Mexico. This is one way for me to identify with my culture, with the Latino people.
After lunch, we drop in at the exhibit space, El Tesoro Restaurant. It's a repurposed row house on South Broadway.
I picked this space because it feels like a living room space that you walk into. Hola, Jessica.
The owners of this place are entrusting Michelle to make some big changes, replastering a wall, painting, but she's leaving a lot intact.
Even these aloe plants that you see here, they're going to be in the show as well. Many people and the co-owners believe that they absorb bad energy and they're there for good luck.
What's the line between devotion, faith, and superstition?
Devotion is the practice of devoting yourself to your faith. You're devoted to your faith by showing an altar or, you know, having this plant in your home. Faith is your general belief in something. And then a superstition sometimes has religious backgrounds and affiliations, but usually comes from tradition and practice of believing in something. So, for example, the aloe plant, like I described, is a superstition, not necessarily a religious tradition, but it's still spiritual in the sense that it deals with these ideas that are abstract and not necessarily solid.
But back to the task at hand. Michelle is making great progress with her list.
This is my favorite part, checking off, scratching off. Oh, this is awesome.
In the middle of March, you were feeling quite different than you are feeling now.
Yeah, I was very worried that people would not want to participate. But I think it's all coming together last minute, and that's just human nature in general.
As he listens to Michelle, Anthony's admiration is clear.
I've spent years talking to other philosophy majors about, you know, what's the point even waking up in the morning? But when I met Michelle, I find that that's what they all ask themselves too. They just have a different process of dealing with it. And in her practice, I mean, she's literally taking, you know, the creative aspects of creating art, these questions, these social questions, and the community to which it applies, and putting it all together into a project. Yeah, I can't do that.
The day winds down. Michelle and Anthony are tired, but their sense of accomplishment is palpable. The show is one day closer to ready, and its purpose has somehow come into greater focus, to bring people closer together, including Michelle and Anthony.
I always tell him that, you know, I'm here for him just as much as he is for me.
When I go to grad school.
All the time.
First you have to learn to drive, and then you'll be driving me everywhere.
Right, I need to get my license. That's been on my to-do list since I was 17. Never got it done. But I can get everything else done.
Michelle Gomez's community art exhibition, Devociones y Fe, is now on display at El Tesoro Restaurant at 219 South Broadway. It runs through May 31st. For more information, go to wypr.org/program/signal. For The Signal, I'm Brett Jaspers.